Barak Satsangi, for coming on the Healthy Indian podcast today. We really appreciate you for coming on and also for being our guest on the show. So one thing I want to talk about today is what you do, what you're inspired to be, and a little bit about you.
Absolutely. So my name is Parag Satsangi. I'm the founder and CEO of Helm Fitness. It's a holistic, data-driven fitness company tailored to help people lose weight, but basically packaging all of the different data parts together. So, you know, the exercise, nutrition, sleep, hydration, and making sense of that. You know, right now, I find the fitness market's very fragmented based on different companies focusing on isolated parts of the equation. And so we package all that together. We give you the blueprint, hold you accountable along the way to help you get your goals.
Awesome. And how did, with Helm Fitness, your company, can you tell us a little bit about it? What do you guys do? And how do you guys differentiate from other fitness brands?
Yeah, absolutely. So we start out by doing kind of a very in-depth like interview almost of understanding exactly like, you know, where you are today, where you want to be, what are your current habits, how much you work out, what your eating habits are, wow, dietary preferences, access to gyms and whatnot. From there, we create a workout plan for you, a nutritional guideline in terms of how many calories and, you know, carbs, fats, and proteins that you should be hitting. We give you a meal plan. And then we have weekly calls with our clients to hold them accountable. I'm regularly texting them to make sure that they're like logging their food, to make sure that they are completing their exercises. It's, you know, the way that I like to think about it is like when you have, you know, personal trainers or workout classes, you have accountability when you're in the gym. You know, we're the accountability for you outside the gym to make sure that you get your goals.
No, and that's really interesting too, because I think having that one-on-one relationship with your clients is very important, because for me personally, I feel like I don't grow in the gym when I'm not pushed to failure. And I think that's one of those things where like when I'm pushed to the, you know, brink of like fatigue, I feel like I need definitely my coaches and my mentors to really like push me to the next level. So I finally see muscle growth and muscle synthesis. So I think it's a very good thing that what you're doing. And I think maybe you could show us a demo the next time you're on, because it'd be really helpful to see, you know, so.
Definitely. Yeah, I have this whole like dashboard built out and everything's like color coded and conditionally formatted. And like on that dashboard, you can see like where, what you did right in the past week, what you did wrong in the past week. So it allows us to drill down and focus on what the problem areas are so that the upcoming week we can work on improving that.
And how did you, I guess, create your company? What was the motivation behind it?
Yeah. So I got married this past June. And as I'm sure most brides and grooms feel, like your wedding day is when you want to look and feel your absolute best.
Yeah.
And as I was navigating that journey, like I was trying to like, you know, trim down, like build some muscle, you know, I was going to like workout classes and whatnot, but then like the nutrition side of things were slacking. And so I realized that, you know, all of these pieces need to talk to each other, and no one out there has been able to solve for that. And so I decided to just build it myself. And I did it, tested it on myself. It went well. And then since my wedding, I thought, hey, let's try this on a couple of friends, see if there's something here. And they've seen great results. I've got a friend who's down like almost 30 pounds right now. Wow. since mid August. So I'm seeing good results. And then now I'm starting to take on paid clients.
No, that's a freaking achievement, man. I mean, having someone lose that much significant amount of weight is a really, you're literally changing his life, you know, and having that life altering experience, they're always going to be really appreciative towards you, aside from the money, mm-hmm. the wealth, the business. I think mm-hmm. it's such a humbling feeling. And that's why mm-hmm. I do this podcast too, like for, you know, giving a good impact. Cause when I hear that, I feel like, okay, I'm doing something great with my time, and it's not mm-hmm. something that's just gonna wither away. It's gonna be my like legacy, right? You're gonna be remembered for Helm Fitness. So I think that's an awesome thing. What makes Helm so successful with clients? Is it just like the way you kind of broke down, I guess, your structure for your company? Like what is the blueprint behind it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think what I did was I found every single drop-off point across the spectrum of losing weight? Like, where do things go wrong? Like, you know, which is motivation to like go to the gym, making sure that you're, you know, eating consistently and healthy every day, and making sure you're getting enough sleep. Right. And figured out where are the areas that people fall off on. And I basically built that dashboard according to that and say, hey, now we're able to like highlight it. So when you see something that's consistently in the red, you know that that's a problem area. And by the reason why we pair a human coach with you is so that you actually have someone there holding you accountable. At the end of the day, like, all the information is out there in terms of what you need to do to lose weight. We all know we need to eat less, move more, and get good sleep. But then how is like over 70% of this country still, you know, overweight or obese?
Obese, yeah.
You know, and a lot of that is just because like they just need accountability and guidance and to kind of clear out the noise. There's so much confusing information out there. You've got keto, you've got paleo, you've got Whole 30. It's like, it's so overwhelming. Like, what do you do? And that's where, like, as a coach, we come in, we kind of narrow everything down, keep everything structured, focused, hold you accountable, and make sure that you get where you need to be.
Wow, that's amazing. And how long has this been company afloat? Like, when did you start this?
Yeah, I started it back in July of 2022. So it's been around for, I guess, 5 months now.
Okay, not too long ago.
Yeah.
I think with like your, when you start something, it's more about the drive. Like, I had this podcast for 2 years now, many people know, but it really blew up in the last 3 months when I started really trying and honing in on who I wanted to be and what my message was. It just took me a year and a half to cultivate it. So I think as you grow in the 5 months, you're going to see, as also a creator of a new fitness brand, that you're going to see that maybe there's certain things we can change versus certain things we want to keep the same, which is effective for the clients. Do you agree with that, or?
Absolutely. I mean, I would say the reason why I wanted to test out Helm before even bringing it to market is to figure out what are the areas I need to improve on, you know, in this program. What are things that have worked for clients and what are things that haven't? And one of the things that I found to be like very effective that I don't mean it in like a scary way, but I found that like, clients have said, hey, because we have this weekly call with you, we know that we need to be on top on our A game because I have to talk to you on Wednesday. And so I think that was something that form of accountability has proven to be like pretty important. Just even the fact that they know that they have to talk to me on their next call. So things like that have started to help. And like the dashboard that I built, I didn't always have the dashboard. I was just kind of like reviewing and digesting the data and spitting it back to them. But now I've made it in a way where it's visual to them. And what I want is to empower the client to say, okay, this is what I'm doing well. This is what I'm not doing well. Now it kind of makes it easier to start focusing on those problem areas.
And like, that's really interesting. But even with technology, sometimes, you know, like people have a tendency to get demotivated. And especially New Year's coming around right now, Christmas coming along, holidays. And there's those clients that will persevere. And then there's clients that need more motivation. How do you prioritize the ones that definitely need more of a fitness boost, more of a like coaching, because you can't just coach someone all the time and expect them to be motivated. You know, sometimes it's like, man, I'm not gaining any weight. I don't see the number on the scale going. Maybe I'm eating too many jalebis on Diwali night. I don't know what it is. But you get the gist of it, right? Like, motivation it has to be consistent. So How do you guys like kind of navigate through those kinds of clients? Because I mean, I would love to know, if I was a person coming into your fitness and your gym, how do I stay motivated versus somewhere else? You know, so
that's a really good question. And so there's a couple of components to that, which is one, kind of going back to that dashboard that I talked about. The reason why I built that dashboard is so that the client is now empowered to say, wait, this variable is actually in my control. And it, you know, because it says like, okay, like all my entire dashboard is lighting up green, but like my sleep number is in the red. If I just fix that, it's going to make a massive impact. So it's very empowering to the client to see why they're not seeing results. You know, it's one thing if a client is doing everything right, they're not seeing results. But rarely is that actually the case, right? If you do actually just do the right things, you will genuinely see results. So that's one component of it. The other motivation is to say, hey, like, why are you doing this, right? Like, what is the end goal here? And And some of it could be like, hey, look, like I've visited my doctor and I'm getting like, you know, dangerously close to potentially getting diabetes down the line. I have a history of that in my family. Or it could be like, I just want to feel more confident in my body when I like go to the beach with my friends over the weekends. I'm getting married in 6 months.
Yeah.
Like, I want to look good. Like, whatever that sure. is, just reminding the client like why they're what they're in this for. And just kind of making sure that they always remember what their intrinsic reason for wanting to do this, and that, hey, here's a blueprint here. Like, if you follow this blueprint, you will get to the promised land.
No, and it's really helpful to see that, man, because I'll tell you, there's like so much online that is like fake news, and there's people mm-hmm. like, you know, that are a little harsher, you know, like Andrew Tate mm-hmm. and like Jake Paul and all these like mm-hmm. fitness people, and they're like, oh, you know, stop being fat and doing that. And I think not everyone is cut out from the same cloth, and people have thick skin. Yeah. Some people don't have thick skin, but everybody mm-hmm. wants to lose weight. And I feel like you connecting with their client and showing mm-hmm. them this dashboard, and I'm sure it's a great dashboard, but like it will really help them and empower them to see that, hey, like this is the trajectory I'm going. And for me, I'm very similar. I'm a numbers guy. I love my macros in and out. And I know for me, it works, and fasting works as well. So I try to implement that in my diet. Is there some kind of advice you would give to the young audience that are starting out on their fitness journey? How to get started on something like Helm Fitness if they want to start their own brand? I think that'd be really cool just to know about your journey and how you kind of took approach to it, right? Starting mm-hmm. literally nothing to something, right? Even wearing the name on your shirt, and that's pretty impressive. Yeah. So.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. So one thing is like really doing your research and understanding the science behind like why you're pushing what you're pushing is going to be really important. So for example, like, and maybe this is just me personally, I'm not a big fan of like the keto diet. And I don't mean to just like, right. you know, target them. But the reason why I'm not a big fan of diets like keto and things like that are, the question you have to ask yourself is this something you can do for the rest of your life? Because the reality is keto, yes, you will shed lots of pounds really quickly. But the second you stop doing keto, you are going to gain that weight back. And the question is, like, do you want this for short term or do you want to do something for the long term? And if you want to do something for the long term, what is something that you can sustain that's realistic? You've got to be pragmatic about the way that you live your life. Like, you're not going to, like, stop going to friends' weddings. You're going to have work happy hours. There's going to be times where, you know, in your social life, you're going to drink alcohol. Like, you got to recognize that. Knowing some of those things, how do we build around that? Make sure that you're still generally trajecting towards being healthier. And so I think just doing your research, understanding the science, and pairing that with just like a very pragmatic approach to how life actually is going to be really important. And kind of the last piece is, you know, I've worked with other coaches before that I felt like treated life as if it was in a vacuum, and right. that, you know, you have no social life, you never eat out, and you've got to cook these three things every single day. And the reason why those programs, yeah, sure, if you follow that 100%, you are going to lose weight. Is that actually sustainable in the long run? You know, not so much. And so that's where I like to allow flexibility in the program to say, hey, you don't have to cook every single meal. You don't have to never drink alcohol ever again, but let's make sure that all the variables all talk to each other so that if you do eat a little bit more, make sure you work out a little bit more to offset that. So that you can then be more in control of your journey.
I guess, what are the common mistakes people make in their fitness journey, you would say, like when it comes to that, right? Because like you said, there's so many variables, but it's easy to make mistakes, right? It's mm-hmm. it's very easy to relapse and have like a week of binging, like drinking and eating, mm-hmm. and especially like with all the holidays and even not holidays, right? Weddings. Perfect mm-hmm. example. You got married.
Yeah.
And you just saw people scarfing down all the good food. How the heck are you supposed to say no to that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good question. The thing is, sorry, I'm blanking right now.
We might have
to edit this part. Can you remind me of the question again?
Oh yeah, like so. What are common mistakes people make in their fitness journey, mm-hmm. especially given like Indian events or events in general, life events?
Yeah, I think the common mistakes are thinking that you can lose like 30 pounds in like 3 weeks. You know, having these unrealistic expectations. Like, you have to remember, it took many, many years for your body to gain this weight. You can't expect to lose it all in such a short amount of time. And nor is that necessarily healthy for you. So that's common mistake number one. Common mistake number two is kind of a piggybacking off of that, which is when you do deprive yourself of something for such a long time, if you're like starving yourself or you are like completely removing carbs, the second you reintroduce that, human nature is going to be to overindulge on that. And so that's why the biggest mistake that people make is not finding a balanced, structured approach towards fitness and weight loss and going through different extremes, just because they've seen like in Hollywood, someone did keto and lost like 30 pounds in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. And it is a struggle. I mean, I think it's easy to lose weight, but it's hard to sustain it. And I think it's one of those things where, like, when it comes to making mistakes, you just need to kind of, you know, be able to balance something, but you also have to be mindful of how much you intake and how much you really consume. Because, like, when you have carbs and if you're carb depleted for like a week or so, carbs taste 10 times good. It's almost like an addiction of like a rat having a cocaine. It's insane to me how, you know, people go on these like fad diets and then they're just like not able to sustain, right? And then they're, if anything, they're like twice as heavier as they were before. So, you know, it's one of those things where like I'm always perplexed, but it's interesting to see that you're taking the well-balanced diet approach rather than having your clients and, you know, especially your customers kind of fall into, you know, just like a very starvation mode diet or keto diet. You know, that type of stuff is a little complicated. Not to shit on the keto people, but I think it should be said. Because not like for keto, other people could do it. Great. You're getting the results. But the vast majority of people can't. And I think that's the biggest, I think if I'm not correct, that's who you're trying to target, right? Like people who struggle to keep like a diet based on one preference. So,
exactly. Yep.
And what would you say is like, why does someone need a coach if they can find the info online? Like, what is the benefit of that?
Yeah. And look, it comes down to the same reason why, like, why does anyone sign up to go work out at Orange Theory or Barry's or anything like that? Right. You can go find those workouts yourself online and go do them. The reality is that you do need someone in there pushing you, holding you accountable. And there are people, of course, who are very much capable of doing this themselves. What I find, and it's actually one of the interesting things about the fitness industry, is by putting like that kind of commitment into that journey, by saying, okay, I'm going to rope this person into my fitness journey, you now have an elevated sense of like, I need to get this done, because there's somebody that's like, really like holding me accountable and banking on me to do the right things to get to where I need to be. So it gives you an extra sense of like, okay, like I need to do this. Versus when you're kind of doing it by yourself, you always kick the tire on it. Let me start on Monday. I'll start next week. Oh, I've got this party coming. I'll do it the next day. But as soon as you make that commitment to yourself, they're like, you know what, I'm going to sign up for Helm Fitness or any other type of coach. What you're telling yourself is this is serious and this starts now.
Right. It's like it's not a change that you're going to do over a course of a day. It's a change you're going to do over a course of a lifetime. Maybe implement in your lifestyle, even if you quit the Helm Fitness or any other fitness industry, the idea is for like the customer or the client to leave with that sustainable diet approach rather than the, you know, the other diets that are like, you know, quick results, but not long-term output. So that being said, how would you say like if a coach is not the best suitable for one person, do you guys rotate coaches so that way can fit someone else's like agenda? In the sense of, because some coaches believe in lifting, some coaches believe in stretching, some coaches believe in, and there's so many variations, but how do you differentiate a coach that is the most optimal for your client?
It's a good question. I would say that the answer to that is less about the methodology in terms of like prioritizing lifting. And I'd say it's more about like the personality mix, right? Like what type of motivation does the client need? Does somebody want someone that's going to play hardball with them and say like, hey, like what, you know, you need to do X, Y, and Z, or do they need someone that's a little bit more compassionate, understanding, and help educate along the way. And so I think it's more about the personality compatibility than it is about the actual methodology, because, you know, as a program, we try to keep the methodology pretty sound and structured. And it's just more about managing the different personalities of the clients.
Okay. So personality is like the right way of approaching that. And that's really good. I really like that. Cause honestly, you can't always go by like fitness regimes. It has to be like the connection and the emotional, you know, feedback. Like, hey, I did this today. I slept 8 hours. I ate well.
Yeah.
And like you know, the coach has to follow up and they have to mesh. So I agree with that. How does your program help with the mental health side of things? I really like this question because, as you know, we're a mental health podcast and fitness. So How does it help mentally? Because challenges are always there, right? So
absolutely, absolutely. Because I'm sure you know there's a lot of science behind the benefits, the mental health benefits of like hitting the gym, right? Of eating, like putting like good nutrients in your body. And one of the most rewarding points of feedback I've gotten from my clients to date is that they feel more energy and they feel more mental clarity. And it's allowing them to do better on their jobs, have a more fulfilling social life, have better relationships with their, you know, with their friends and family. Yeah, and just like I said, more energy throughout the day. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And so it's kind of like the health triangle of like mental, emotional, and physical, right? Like you're really optimizing your physical. It helps elevate your mental. It helps elevate your emotional.
Yeah, because there's so many times where mentally I'm like in a good space, but one of those off days, you're just like, boy, I kind of need someone to motivate me. And right now I'm doing F45 functional fitness, but I'm really into HIIT workouts. And I've known, like, for me personally, it's been a big effect. And my diet I just do intermittent fasting. But to give you some insight, I think having the coach kind of, you know, tell me like, oh, go a little bit further, do more reps. I know you can do this. I know you can, you know, bang out this thing. You literally did this weight last week. Mm-hmm. Those things really shape my mental health in a sense, because I went in thinking I was not as confident. And then every week I noticed my confidence just skyrocketing because of the, you know, just the push. And I find like anger towards like my workouts. I don't know if that's you, but yeah, I get angry. No, but not at anyone in particular, just like at my drive. And I think that's great, you know, bro. So
it's also just cool to see your progress, right? You're like pushing your own personal limits. And that's, I think that's the other value of having a coach, kind of to answer your previous question, is that it's not just like, hey, here's a blueprint, we're holding you accountable, but it's like, hey, you thought you were only capable of doing this. The coach is going to help you realize you're capable of doing this. And that's, and like you said, in your F45 workout, like that impacts you mentally in a positive way, right? You're getting more confidence. Like, I never thought I could lift this much weight before, you know? So it's super cool.
And especially the high intensity for me, because I'm just trying to, like, you know, get to a certain weight and build muscle. But it's one of those things where, like, I love high intensity. So it's like a perfect match for me as of now. I've always loved it. And I've tried so many variations. I've tried CrossFit. I've tried dieting. I've tried yoga. And I still implement those, like, snatches and stuff into my life. I try to implement all the good and all these different fitness regimes and implement it. So maybe you could do that too with Helm Fitness, where it doesn't have to be a niche market of just lifting or stuff. There's so many ways you can change. And I think it'll bring more audience in for you guys. So I think it'd be a great idea.
For sure.
What's your most favorite productivity hack for entrepreneurs? Like, how do you prioritize productivity when it comes to just, you know, owning a Helm Fitness and kind of being inspired to, like, you know, put in work every day?
Yeah, that's a good question. And that's a tough one to navigate, because when you're an entrepreneur, you're like, you know, you're getting pulled in all these different directions. You've got all these different initiatives on your mind. And one of the things that I've learned, I was, you know, an entrepreneur previously as well. And in that one, I think I bit more than I could chew. And so one of the things I'm starting to do is start focusing on, like, what's the next step? Like, I have my end goal in mind, but I'm actually focused on the day by day. Like, what can I do today that's going to help me do better tomorrow, do better the next day? And slowing that down has actually helped me, ironically, move faster in this business. Because when you're overwhelmed with, like, oh my God, I need to hit this grandiose vision, and you've got like 50 different things, you end up having, you know, paralysis by analysis or analysis by paralysis. You end up having that, and then you end up doing nothing, right? So it's like, if I focus on like, what are like two or three things I can do today that are going to move the ball forward? And I've started being at a stage now at Helm where it's like, every action that I do needs to really move the needle forward. Like I'm no longer sweating the small details anymore. I'm now like, what are the things that can move the business forward? What are the things that can move the product forward? What are the things that can move clients forward? Things that are going to be, that are going to make a material impact on the business, on the clients, and so forth.
That's wonderful, man, because productivity is one of those things that will burn you out. You know, if you're too productive, it'll burn you out. If you're less productive, you don't get shit done. Mm-hmm. So I think having a good like balance is really good. And even for me with podcast episodes, there was a time where I used to post 4 episodes a day and I was burned out, destroyed. Mm-hmm. And now I took a back, like, you know, a picture from that guy view. And then I was just like, you know, let me just post once a week and it's doing great. And I'm actually building a lot more backlog and audience and just the amazing guests I bring on. It's like so surreal. So I think, I think it's a good knowledge nugget that you dropped that, like, you know, just balance your productivity out and take it one step at a time rather than, you know, shoot for the stars like today, you know? So I think that's awesome. Yep. What do you think the fitness industry will be in the next 5 years? Do you think it's going to be like changing? Cause there's so many, what's the word? I don't want to lose my train of thought, but there's so many businesses that are coming out and it's like Rockbox, F45, indoor mom and pop gyms. Right. So how do you like, where do you see everyone kind of going with fitness?
it's a good question. So look, there's a couple of trends that are happening, which is there's so much noise out there right now, right? Like there's like 100 different workout studios to choose from. There's 50 different diets out there. There's all different types of stuff. One of the trends that I've been keeping an eye on is like the smartwear like industry. Obviously a lot of people now have Apple Watches and Fitbits. I think they're remarkable products to begin with. I think they're only going to get better. And like, I wear an Apple Watch like every minute of the day. Like even at my own Sangeet at my wedding, like I refused to wear an actual watch because I wanted to wear my Apple Watch because I still wanted my step count even at my own Sangeet.
That's funny.
But I think like that is a really interesting trend. I also have an Oura ring that I wear to sleep every night, and the sleep data that I get out of it is phenomenal. It is like, it tells me exactly when I fell asleep, when I woke up. Like the deep sleep, the REM sleep. And so I've just become obsessed with the data side of things. And I think that's only going to get better and better. And the reason why I think the timing of Helm coming, like becoming a business is really interesting is because now we have this really interesting smart hardware. Now there's the job of Helm is to, how do we package that information, give you a coach to hold you accountable. And then now data plus a coach, like I think results are going to come.
What, and I have a good question right now, what's an insult you received that you're most proud of? Almost like proving the haters wrong, per se. Because there's sometimes, like, I got called fat all the time, and I lost so much weight. And I thought that insult was the best insult anyone could give me, because it was a fuel to the drive to lose weight. And honestly, like, that's what motivated me to cause a big shift in my life. Not that I was just thinking about haters, but I know I could do better. I know I'm better. But, you know, what's an insult that almost like drives you? Because, you know, it's, everyone has those, right?
Yeah. You know what? I can probably name countless times in my life that people have commented on my weight. And I think each of those times just like fuels me more and more. And so like to come out of that and then start a fitness company out of it is inspiring. Super cool. Because, right, like, and the other thing is, like, I feel like a lot of fitness companies are started by people who've been fit their entire lives. Like, I have not been. Like, I've been through all that struggle. I can't pinpoint one particular insult, I'd say. But I will say that, like, now that I've started a fitness company, like, the pressure's on to make sure that I stay fit, too.
Yeah, it's true. Because as the CEOs, you see all these fitness people. They're all super fit. I'm like, damn. What are they doing? Roids? No, probably not. But yeah, no, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. And I guess, do you get family support from all this fitness stuff? You know, because it's unique, right? You don't see too many Indian people opening up like these kinds of fitness centers and stuff. So, you know, do you get like family support and stuff like that too?
Yeah, definitely. So, look, my brother and sister-in-law are both doctors. So I've had like countless conversations with them, you know, just from their perspective. You know, my parents are very supportive on it as well. My wife is incredibly supportive. She's been like very much like, she's my accountability coach. she's the one who's like, did you do this? Did you do that? Like, so yeah, tons of support around that. But you're right. It's not like fitness hasn't really hit like the South Asian community yet. And so I think there's a unique opportunity here to really like to spearhead that.
And I'm definitely interested in bringing it out and seeing where your you know, journey goes. And I would love to help you out in any way, because I'm a big advocate for fitness. I mean, I have two parents who are diabetic, and I try to motivate them every day. And fortunately, they're able to kind of bring their A1Cs down. So it's good to see that, like, you know, they can see the good side of fitness. But, you know, from our parents' standpoint, from immigrants, they don't know anything about what that is. So I definitely think even for your fitness, it won't be like young adults you're targeting. You're going to be targeting older adults. So
definitely. And I think there's like more education that needs to be done with like the older adults. Now the behavior change is a lot trickier with them, because they're kind of set in their ways in terms of what they eat. But that's where I think the educational component comes into play. Just educating them on like the impacts of what they're putting in their bodies and how it's going to ultimately affect them.
Also, what does mental health mean to you? Do you also, I mean, I know I have mental health issues and struggles too, just like, you know, imposter syndrome, and just sometimes there's those times in the day where I have like high highs and low lows. So do you have something similar, or, you know, your own mental health story in a sense?
Yeah, I would say, fortunately in my life, I've been in a relatively pretty even keel, you know, throughout my life. I would say since I've started Helm, though, it has become incredibly overwhelming, especially as like a solo founder. There are definitely times where I feel like I'm being pulled in multiple directions. Like I will have like the best meeting of my life, but then it'll be followed by like some form of a rejection later that day. And like in same day, I can have both the best and the worst day. And that gets tough. That gets tough to navigate. Yeah, I mean, I'd say that like keeping, you know, regularly going to the gym helps me like, you know, keep things in check. Because like you were saying, kind of like working out your anger, like it really does make a difference to go kind of just, you know, pump some iron and blow off some steam. But yeah.
And this might be a weird, I guess, analogy to look at, but I look at it as like a high heart rate, a good aid to my mental health, because I feel like the higher my heart rate is, the better I'm going to feel and the better my day is going to go. So I kind of like look at that when I'm at the gym. So it really motivates me to be better. So, you know,
for sure. Definitely.
Okay, cool. So I think, so I have so many more questions for you, and I know I could deep dive in, but what is, if you had to write a book tomorrow, what would it be about? Would it be like fitness related or your life, or, you know?
It's a good question, actually. And it's a good segue to the fact that I'm actually planning on launching a newsletter right after New Year's. And it's the kind of that encapsulates it all is going to be like how to become the best version of yourself. So that doesn't necessarily just mean fitness. Fitness is going to be one component of it, but it includes other things like I have a segment that I wrote about like how something small, but when you're out at dinner with your friends, don't have your phone sitting on the table, you know, things like that just kind of indicate that you're not fully present with the other person. And so just a general, like, I think it'd probably be a book on just like all aspects of your life. How can you be the best version of yourself physically, mentally, emotionally, as a partner, as a friend, as a family member, in your career, you know, and just helping you unlock your potential to be the best version of yourself.
I think that's such an interesting point you hit on, because being present is such a hard thing nowadays, considering all the social media and stuff we have. And, you know, you see people's accolades and stuff on just different Instagram accounts and TikTok. So yeah, it is definitely hard to be more present, man. I mean, the population's most, I think they say like you can only have 8 seconds of attention now, like as a normal man. So it's, we all have like super small attention spans, and yeah, and you know, it's insane. It's insane to me. But that being said, you know, what are your three best qualities that people, that you want people to remember you for?
I think, you know, and these are not all necessarily even fitness related. I'd say that, like, I think the number one quality, I think, is being inclusive. You know, I'm very much like proactive with friends, with even acquaintances, to make sure that they feel included and not left out. So when it comes to like having parties, like I'll invite everyone. Like, even if I have like my friend, like, you know, my core friend group, like I'm not like, hey, we have to do just us. Like, if other people are free and available, like, happy to include other people, make them feel included. Number two, kind of a similar, on a similar note, is like, I'll show up to everything. Like, I'm going to be that friend that shows up to everything. Like, unless I have unless I have a prior commitment, you know, like, I will be there. Like, I will be there for all your birthdays, your weddings, your bachelor parties, your smallest celebrations. Like, I like to be present. And part of that is because my, like, my love language is quality time, and it is like disproportionately quality time. Awesome. So I like to return that, as well. And then I think the third thing that, you know, that I pride myself in is in, I guess, seemingly unconventional thinking, but in the context of like, make, like, living your best life, like going out and having a good time. Is like one of the quotes that I was famous for in college was like, are you going to remember this night that you stayed in 10 years from now, or the night that you spontaneously came with me to, you know,
that's awesome.
I don't know, you know, go to like this, like, basketball game, or go to anything. Like, you're more likely to remember this night that we went out and did something than the night that you stayed back.
It's a powerful message, yeah, too. And I think you living like life like that and seeing it from that lens, like present, it's a good coaching quality to have, honestly, because I was trying to think of this, like, how, and as I asked that question, I was like, how does he think like he can be, you know, like in a, like his mindset towards coaching. And I think you hit the nail on the coffin, man. It's your quality time, your ability to engage people, bring everyone together. And now subliminally, you might be implementing into your fitness, right? Helm Fitness, and having like a core group of people that will not only love fitness, but will also stick together and unite. So I think it's going to be a very good mind shift, especially when your company starts and, you know, it prospers. So
for sure. And the other thing is, like, one of the most rewarding parts of my job that I didn't even foresee was that clients just, sometimes they just need to vent about like the struggles that they're having. They just need someone to talk to, like, I really wanted to eat healthy this week, but like my parents were in town, so I had to, like, you know, cook all these different meals, and we didn't end up eating healthy. But like, just having someone to talk to, just like unloading that, you know, mental burden, I think has also been very helpful, which was not something that I had even foreseen, but it's been like a very positive consequence.
I feel like nowadays the world is very mixed. So we live in a world where it's not just black and white anymore. It's more so about like the uniqueness and the diversity, I believe, I guess, but diversity. So I think like you having that mindset is really gonna impact your coaching, and it's gonna show, right? Even if you wanted to show good or bad, it's gonna show. So at the end of the day, live like you're living in the present, and, you know, move forward. So I appreciate it. Okay, cool. And what is your morning routine like? Do you also work out as well on a day to day, or is it like, because you have a lot going on, right? You got married, you have like a company, and stuff. So is your morning routine, how is it looking now?
Yeah, good question. I tend to be a more of a late afternoon, evening type of person. Sick. When it comes to working out. I'm, you know, maybe unpopular opinion, I'm not a morning person, actually. So for me, working out in the mornings is tough for me, because, you know, I'm more of a bit of a night owl. So my morning routine, I mean, I it's just displaced. It's like a few hours later than everybody else's. But, you know, I wake up, kind of eat, you know, eat breakfast, all the standard stuff, and then I just get to work. But yeah, I tend to do my workouts later in the day.
No, it's good to know, because I feel like a lot of people, they also are not morning people, man. And yeah. I'm kind of versatile in the sense, because some mornings I'm feeling it, but I actually, the way I work out is kind of like, I kind of just go with how I'm feeling that day. I just work out like five times a week for the last like 3 months. So I've been going pretty hard, but in my own journey, I also feel like you got to accumulate your life to your schedule. Cause like you said, when you have a wife and when you have friends and stuff, you have so much going on. And not only that, but I have people in my life that are more fitness based and that want to work out. But then there's people like I know that won't ever work out. Like they're just not, they just don't believe in it, or if they're just, they're more into other hobbies. So I try to tell them that, hey, let's go hiking, let's go yoga. Is there a way you kind of tell people to like, hey, instead of working out, let's do this activity and see how they do? Cause I think for me, the reason I'm here on earth is like to motivate people. So I want their health to be optimal. I don't want just sit there, smoke, drink, you know, I want to do things that are going to make an impact and have an activity and have a real experience. So.
Yeah. Well, look, one simple thing is I live in New York City, and so I try to walk everywhere. Like, I don't care if it's like 30 degrees outside, 20 degrees. Yeah. So if it's under an hour, I will always be the one pitching for us to go walk there. Cause I think, you know, hitting your steps, and it's also like a cool way to like get to know the city even more. You kind of walk through the neighborhoods and you see things. And so to answer your first question about like, what do I do to help motivate others? We don't have access to as much hiking as, you know, in the city naturally. Yeah, obviously, yeah. if we go do trips, then always pitching, you know, hikes and more physical, you know, activity related activities. But within the city, I always propose walking. I think there's just so much benefits to it. You feel good by being outside. You get, of course, you hit your steps. Also, especially after eating a meal, walking is like one of the best things you can do to like manage blood sugar spikes. So big fan of walking.
Also, the city's motivating. I feel like people are so dressed up, especially in the morning. You're like inspired. You see everything around and you naturally feel like the need to be more productive. Whereas when you live in a more suburban area, it's harder. And I think it's basically the city's effect almost on you. Right. So it's really cool to see. So I think I've asked you everything I can. I think you killed it. So thank you. I have a few rapid fire questions if you want to answer them.
Let's do it.
All right, cool. Okay, cool. What's your favorite kind of coffee?
Ooh, I don't drink coffee.
You don't drink coffee. Okay. What is your favorite activity physically, but not the gym?
Basketball.
Ball. Okay. Kobe fan right here. What is a common myth about fitness?
Keto.
Keto. Okay. God, that's hilarious. And then who have you looked up to when it comes to just motivation?
You know what? I was never like a huge Kobe fan growing up, but I've always admired his mentality. You just can't beat. I've watched so many Kobe videos, his interviews, just the way that he approaches the game, the way that he approaches life. You can't beat that. And I also went to UNC, so you can't ignore Michael Jordan.
No, you cannot.
But I was born in the 90s, so I got more exposure to Kobe, and Kobe's done way more interviews than Michael Jordan has, so it's been easier to watch his stuff.
But I and Chicago is a very interesting area too, because I was just there, and I did just go to UNC recently. It's a nice school. I like it. They're huge on ball, so I always want to go to both games. So maybe in the future, you know. Other than that, man, I think you killed it. So thank you for coming on. Really appreciate you.
No, thanks so much for having me.
For sure. Is there anything, I guess just for like wrap up questions, is there anything you would want to give advice to the people when it comes to home fitness or just your brand in general? I think it'd be a powerful message.
Sure. Look, I'll give kind of like the 30-second pitch on, you know, why it makes sense to work with us, but you know, we're focused on helping you, right? Our goal is to kind of handhold you through this entire process. We know it's noisy. We know it's messy. We know it's chaotic. We know you've probably tried a million things under the sun, but I promise you that we will keep everything very structured and data-driven and like visually in a way that empowers you to know what areas to focus on. And we're going to help coach you through that, get you to where you need to be. And look, your success is our success. So, you know, give us a try. Website is helmfitness.com. You can reach out to us there. Looking forward to hopefully connecting with you all.